Good evening, Patriots. Before we begin, a quick push again. Bards Fest is 26th to the 29th of August in St. Charles, Missouri. Tickets will go on sale later this week. We want to get everybody there as much as possible. And on Friday the 27th, we're celebrating Slipper Revolution Day. So get on over to mypillow.com. You can use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to get some great savings and to support what is America's greatest CEO and one of America's great companies, a CEO who has stood ruthlessly against the deep state, who has suffered over $65 million in losses from them taking away access to his products. And in so doing, he has still stood up, pushed back, never relented. He's put together his own social media platform, started his own TV channel, and is continuing to fight by standing up an alternate to Amazon and continues to support small business and people with addictions. He's an amazing man, and he proclaims and gives his glory to Christ. So we need to give him as much possible support as we can, and that's easy because all you have to do is enjoy some of their great products at mypillow.com. Use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and enjoy. It's some fantastic products, literally. Pillows, sheets, comforters, and my slippers, which you need a pair of my slippers for the 27th. And just to highlight the point of what type of company they are, they have now contributed over $40,000 to Bards Fest. So get on over to mypillow.com. And use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Get some great savings and some great products and support one of America's great CEOs and companies. Right now, one of the challenges that we face is that we are entering into the new phase of this fight. And I've been working in the garden tonight, since the last show, actually. And it's 108 degrees here right now in the evening. I haven't experienced heat like this since Afghanistan. And I'm going to be blunt. This is all, there's no accidents here. And there's no coincidences that Biden pushes an executive order to get a new climate change thing going, and we end up with some of the hottest weather in the history of this region, hotter than even the Red Desert in Afghanistan. And I'm struggling, I'm working through just thoughts with, as I'm talking to God and I'm enjoying this time, but also talking some deep topics. And I'm not going to tell you I have total clarity on it, though. The real question is, in the midst of all this, with all the fake celebrations of victory over this stupid pandemic that was never a pandemic, with these people that have taken the injection, the bioweapon into their veins and their body and their blood to convert themselves into something non-human, and to leave, which will result in numerous deaths and casualties, and leave many of them physically maimed, which we're going to have to deal with. There's such a lack of accountability, and with that, there's also this ongoing stupidity with this group of people of being blind to what's coming at them. We're headed into the second phase of this war. And my words are intentionally harsh and poignant because of where I'm headed tonight. And it is the point that we as believers in Christ and people who have listened to this trend and awakened have very much realized that we are in a war. This is not a game. And that this phase one of this war was the mask and the bioweapon round one. Phase two of this war is going to be the claims of a new China bioweapon. They're going to call it also a variant from India, sort of nonsense like that. And people are going to start to using the narrative that it's a breakthrough COVID infection. Breakthrough meaning it's broken through the barrier that this supposed bioweapon created, which it doesn't create any barrier. But what you're seeing is this reaction, the cytoplasmic storm that occurs within the body after they get re-exposed to the spike protein. And you're going to see a bunch of people dead. And so they're going to claim it's the new bioweapon from China because they're trying to fan the flames of a war with China. They want that more than ever. And they want to have greater justification to cause hopefully a nuclear holocaust or something wonderful like that. And we're going to have a bunch of sheep run off the edge in this false flag, and they're going to agree with it, and they're going to get round to this bioweapon. It's going to take them further down that path to transhumanism, while a bunch of them get weeded out and die. And then they're going to start with this other phase, which is going to be right rooted in food shortages. And part of it's going to be created by the environmental junk that they're doing right now, by engineering war, weather warfare on us, creating drought, creating scarcity in food, or at least creating the argument that that's what it is. See, now they can blame it on climate when it's not. Because as a report that came out this evening, one guy has already reported that they are, this is in England, that they are allowing food to be picked in India and then they're letting it rot intentionally in the warehouses so that they don't have any food to ship. So they're, and we already know that farmers in this country have been told to destroy a lot of crop. So they're engineering a food shortage. It's coming. And this is all done to fan the flames of fear, all done to get more fear focused on this new bioweapon and the end of humanity, and all get done to get people to comply to another round of bioweapons and to go into this digital tagging and all this other stuff. So we're out here working, and I, you know, I'm saying this from somebody who is doing this. I don't just talk this stuff. I walk the talk. So when I tell you, like I've talked to you about gardens, I'm building a garden. I built my garden to be a place where with the stocks of food and that we have enough for ourselves and helping the neighborhood, but we have enough for ourselves for at least a year. And with the garden, we can probably extend that farther. And I've added with that water storage, and I'm adding with that solar. And these are very serious issues because it goes to Joseph and his role under the Pharaoh. But what I'm working through right now, and I think we're all going to face it at one point or another, is what about all these people now that are going to come in desperation because they've now not taken time to plan? They didn't pay attention. Worse yet, they mocked it. They thought it was stupid. They just enjoyed their life getting their stuff from a grocery store, having their food delivered to their door, completely dependent upon the corporate yoke. And as it will squeeze down, what you're going to see is those that got the bioweapon are going to be told that as long as they have that pass, and there will probably be round two of this, they'll probably have to get some sort of digital ID injected in them or something, that they're going to have access to food and access to other things. And while we're going to be fighting to create our own economy, and we have to separate from this because that's the only way forward. But that old economy is going to die. And if you really look at what's happening here, pay attention, because as we are pulling away to create our own economy based on God and faith, it's going to be a very prosperous economy. And we're doing this in the face of the storm, which is exactly as we should. And we're being stewards of what we're given, hopefully, and we're hopefully stewarding all of God's gifts. And as we steward those, we're creating enough to share with the many. Now, I have no problem there because that's part of our role. But I think we're all going to be confronted with a real challenge because we're going to have the many that will want to come with hands open saying, I need, I need, I need. The same many that said, I want an injection, I need an injection, and so do you. The many who have celebrated the fact that they had more rights than you because they got an injection. And so a lot of this answer that sits there, because I'll tell you frankly, my first reaction is just to say no and say, that's too bad. But I know that's not what God's asking. But this is the struggle of all of us in a certain time, and I'm sure I'm going to have somebody going, that's not me, I'm all Mr. Happy, and I'm like, whatever, good for you. Glad that you walk that walk on the high road. I'm being honest, and I doubt that there's a person out here that won't cross this point when we won't say something, we won't feel that there has to be some sort of justice. But this is truly what I was reminded of tonight. And it was the question of this. Do you not want them to heal? And that question was put to me. And I have to be honest, there's only one answer to that. Of course, I do want them to heal. And that goes to the role of where do we walk? We have to detach ourselves from what we are feeling in frustration and turn it over to God. And remember that our role is as God's army, not as those who have had to deal with the stupidity. God has put us here because he trusts in us. And so let me read a little bit of Genesis 45. And I think this begins to put things in perspective. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from here, from me." No one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of the Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Right there, patriots, is the answer. And that's why I went back to this tonight after working and talking and praying to God. Because those words are exactly what the answer is for this next step that we face. Before, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And that's exactly why God has put us here, to preserve life. We are all going to be faced with some very difficult moments. And we are all, and I have it in my own family. And it is not easy. I'm not going to even begin to say it is. Arrogance and the idea that all this idea that we're living through is idiocy, taking the shot because it's important and it's a good thing for humanity and we need to save the environment and all this other nonsense. In this household, it is like Joseph. We're stocking up, we're preserving, we have the garden, we're building up the stocks and the cash for that moment when we expect things to get kind of tough. And when that time comes, if that time comes, the answer to that moment is not, "No, we don't have any. No, you need to walk." The answer in that moment is, "For God sent me before you to preserve life." Let me continue. "For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are yet five years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors." We are the remnant. For God has sent us here to be that remnant. And we are here in this time having put up with an enormous amount of stress and consternation and judgment and also sorts of other things from the other side. But God has us here for a reason. And again, it comes down to ensuring that there are many survivors and that we are here to preserve life. We are not going to get through any of this easily, and there's going to be a heavy and hard walk for all of us. And this evil that we're confronting is not going to just simply pack up its bags and walk away and give us back the keys to the kingdom. They're not. It is going to be up to us to have to hold the line. It's going to have to be up to. It's going to be up to us to have to be the strength. And we have to hold that line right now, because when things start to fall apart, we are the only rock and pillar that many will have. Some homes are divided so much that there's isolation between those that have not taken the injection and those that have. And it's a sad state. But this is kind of a moment of a great leveling. Famines have did that in Genesis, and I think that we're headed back to one again. All the writing is on the wall that they're going to try to engineer food shortages. And when people are hungry, and things are before them, they can get a little crazy. But we have to hold our way with God, and we have to hold our way with helping the many. These are very delicate moments, because they are moments where we have to make some very delicate decisions. Like I spoke of in the previous show with Ezra and Nehemiah, we are going to be faced with moments of having to decide whether to include or exclude. And when there's scarcity, exclusion can lead to riots, and too rapid of an inclusion can lead to riots. So there's no easy answer on any of this, but there is one way through. And that one way through is our faith in God and letting Him guide our path, but keeping in mind the whole time that we are here to preserve life. That's going to be the biggest challenge for us all. But I do believe, and I truly believe this in my heart, that though we cannot see what's coming, we can imagine, and I'm sure if we let our minds go, we'll imagine probably something similar. It'll always center around the Walking Dead and a bunch of wooden stakes stabbing Walking Dead people in the head. That's thanks to 10 years of good programming by AMC. But in truth, we have to really step to realize that we are all God's children, and that as Joseph understood, his journey was not about vengeance. His journey was about arriving at the right point and having the experiences that he needed to assume the role that ended up saving the many. I am under no optimistic cloud that anything that comes out of the Arizona audit or reinstating President Trump or any of that is suddenly going to make things A-okay. I do believe that we are in for a tough next 3 years, regardless of how it goes. This cabal is not going to stop. And they're not going to let go of things. And the only way we're going to be able to defeat them is to build that alternate economy and to do it our way and ignore them and to move in the frameworks that we can to reestablish sovereignty within our homes, more independence within our homes, and ultimately more independence and sovereignty within our counties. And that ultimately means we have to work with our neighbors. But no one's going to be receptive to working towards those ends until there starts to be shortages and a realization that they're not going to get what they want. One of the hard truths that very well could appear is that the idea of getting the injection and this neat COVID ID doesn't give you anything. When they start getting bug protein bars and versions of a Soylent Green chip to eat, and I'm really not exaggerating that much, I think it's going to settle in on them that many will start to realize that they got a bad deal, that they took the wrong deal. And so again, we have two economies. One's rising, which is based on our faith in God, and it's an economy of prosperity because God is that way. As we trust in Him, He provides all that we possibly need. Our trust is the critical word there, and He will provide all that we possibly need. I mentioned this quote last week from a friend of mine, and he said it well. He said, "I truly believe that there's no food in the world. The people that truly put their faith and love in Christ and through Christ to the Father, that they would end up with manna on their doorstep every morning, just to keep them alive. And I think he's right. So here's the question. If you have manna on your doorstep every morning, do you eat it all or do you share some with another to help bring a life back to God? And I know what God would ask, that we share some with another. So in this time when we are dealing a lot with the struggles of the realities, there's over 6,000 people dead now from the injection. There's over 380,000 people injured by the injection, and that's based on 1%. England is reporting 1.1 million people injured by the injection. And several, and I don't, can't even remember the thousands of numbers that are dead, and they're high. See, this thing isn't small. It's a global issue. And it's all targeted at Western economies and Western society and Christian societies. And we're witnessing an unbelievable event that is wiping out humanity, and they're making a choice. And this is, as these people start to fall, the structure of society as we know it will begin to fall apart. Ironically, a lot of those that are going to be affected are those that believed and worshiped the cabal. They are the followers of Baal, Moloch, and Baphomet, whether they realized it or not. And nonetheless, as we must pray for our enemies. And nonetheless, as we are reminded, it didn't matter, because what Joseph reminds us that it doesn't matter who we help. It's the principle that we're not here to judge on that. We're here to do as God asked, to save lives. Where will come a time, I believe, that God will provide the moment when the many can start to see more clearly and realize that what we've been doing is not for us, but for all of humanity. And I believe that time will come. And it won't be a time that we're going to be celebrated, but it will be a humbling moment for humanity to realize that there were a few who stayed true to God to keep them alive. We don't seek to be heroes. In fact, I sometimes say that we'll never be recognized, and that's okay, because that's as it should be. And I say that because if that's in your heart, we have to take it away. We're not here for glory. We've already got that. Christ gave us that. But where we are here is to conquer our own egos and our own emotions. And in letting those go and truly listening to and walking as God would want, we will save the many as God has asked us to do. We will preserve life as God asked us to do. And more importantly, we will save the souls of those that are lost and wandering if we persevere. Let us be like Joseph. Let us fill the silos with grain. Let us prepare for the 7 years of famine, because it's now upon us. And it's coming harder, and it will get harder in the next 6 years. We're in year one. And this famine's going to include shortages of food. It's going to include shortages of water, likely, and it will probably include people dying from a very poor decision of taking a bioweapon in their veins. Those are things that we can't stop, but we can definitely press for healing by stewarding what we have well, by keeping our prayers active and strong, by leading those to the gateway to Christ, and above all, by forgiving the many and realizing that our journey here was never about them or their foolishness. Our journey has always been about God preparing us to be here in this time, in this place, and in this moment to preserve life. To preserve life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these times that we come together to reflect very deeply on the wisdom that sits before us. Let us all be good stewards to what you give. Let us all take very seriously the preparations for times yet to come. Let us have the forgiveness in our heart to be prepared to help those in need, not to hoard just for ourselves. Let us continue to strive to gain the knowledge and the skills and the wisdom necessary to support ourselves and to have the tools to teach others to support themselves. Let us remember the adage that we can give a man a fish to feed him for a day, but we can teach a man a fish and he can feed his family for life. Let us know how to balance those words between helping and teaching, helping and stewarding, helping and guiding towards reliance on you, not reliance on a system of welfare through us. In this coming time, Lord, as we press to focus on building a new economy, let us continue with that strength moving forward to remember not to lose focus on that and yet to be prepared to help the many that will come in need. We are blessed to be in this time. We are blessed to be in this moment. And we are humbled with the trust you have placed upon us. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. There is not going to be a family that's not going to be touched, that will not be touched by this. Families will all be touched by this. Every person on earth at the end of this day will be touched by this. And the irony of being touched by something of this magnitude is we have opportunities we've never imagined before. It has a way of leveling the field. It has a way of making people turn and face each other. It has a way of bringing people together. Let us make it that. Let's lead that fight to bring people together, to guide them, to humble ourselves before them, and to ensure that we are in the position to do as God would wish to preserve life. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers will be our greatest map as we unlock the map, the paths ahead of us by listening closely to God. And God is with us and he will never forsake us. And in the end, God will win this and we will be with him. So have a very blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. Together flawlessly, pain.
found. Reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.